Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastramavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Page 70. Sukadev Goswami continued, O King, longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence and bravery are naturally and equally manifested in all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Plakshadweep. Plakshadweep is surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice, equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there is then another island, Salmali Dweep, twice as broad as Plakshadweep, 400,000 yojanas, or 320,000 miles, and surrounded by an equal broad body of water called Sura Sagara, the ocean that tastes like liquor. So whether it is liquor or it just tastes like liquor.
Whatever it is,
it's
good.
Huh? Whatever it is, either way. Yeah, it could be alcohol-free, so... So interesting is they always go on even regular numbers, 100,000, 200,000, 400,000. But then, you know, we have our measurements, so when you translate it into that, then it takes on other numbers. But otherwise, like the yugas, then there are 1,000 years of the demigods, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, like that. So they always go by these very even, easy to deal with numbers. Like that.
So equal numbers are good.
I don't know, that's just the way it's arranged. And then we have feet or kilometers or something. Because the kilometer is based off of, I think, the measurement of the circumference of the earth. It has something to do with that I know of. You know, so they're arbitrary kind of things because that's only 1/9 of actually, you know, Bharatvarsha. But whatever, it's what we know. But then they use these numbers and then they all nicely work. Like that. But I guess if you used yojanas, you're going X amount of yojanas per hour, then, you know, if you were doing 120 kilometers an hour, you'd only be doing 10 yojanas an hour. Maybe you wouldn't feel quite as good.
But it's easier to, you know.
Yeah, calculate.
To calculate.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, is the Vedic is, it makes it easy to calculate. Six to eight. In his commentary to verse 8, Srila Vairagavacharya comments, now the tree is described, the silk cotton tree. Okay, so that's what a plaksha is, silk cotton tree. Oh, you know those trees? They're big, they're kind of fat, they're kind of gray, very straight trunk, and the branches come out exactly also like straight, and they have huge thorns on them.
Like a mushroom? The top is like a mushroom.
Top is not, I'm not sure. They're around here. You see them all the time. I think we got one growing out the back. We had one at the old school. During the season, they give these big, huge red flowers that are fat. And then when they're ripe, they fall to the ground. And when they dry, inside there's this super fine silk. They make pillows and quilts and stuff out of them. It's really high-class stuff. Really, really good. You want a good pillow, you get one made out of that. You know, if you're the natural stuff, like that. That, you know, more expensive, but it's like that. So that's what it is. Okay, silk cotton tree. Is as large as the island, and at the bottom of the tree is the abode of Garuda, king of birds. He is called Chandashtut, because his limbs are the meters of the Vedas. Okay, Chanda, because Chanda is the meter. So just when he flaps his wings, then all the Vedas come out of in the sound. So it's like, yeah. That Salmali tree accounts for the name of the island. Okay. So I guess they have no problem there on nice pillows and quilts. Sukadeva Goswami continued. On Salmali Dvipa, there is a Salmali tree from which the island takes its name. That tree is as broad and tall as the Plaksha tree. Oh, no, this. Oh, that's the next one. Plaksha, that we still don't know what it is. But the Salmali, now we know. That's the third one. So we have a rose apple tree here, and then the third one out is that Salmali tree. So what a Plaksha is, I'm not sure. In other words, 100 yojanas, 800 miles broad, and 1,100 yojanas, 8,800 miles tall. Right? So in other words, the trunk is 100 yojanas thick. Right? And the tree is 1,100 yojanas tall. But the branches there, that how they come over, what they would shade is also 1,100. Yes. Yes, the rest of it is just an absolute total desert and all that. Like that. They should be calling in the Israelis, you know, so they could put the water in. No, this is just, this tree is big. This establishes the name of the island. Just like we have tons of trees, but there's only one tree this big that's a jambu tree. So in other words, the tree that's 1,100 yojanas tall on the island, they named the island after that tree. Because it's the outstanding landmark, you could say. Learned scholars say that this gigantic tree is the residence of Garuda, the king of all birds and carrier of Lord Vishnu. In that tree, Garuda offers Lord Vishnu his Vedic prayers. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata, named Yajnabahu, the master of Salmali Dvipa, divided the island into seven tracts of land, which he gave to his seven sons. Right, so the island was controlled by that son. It means all seven was controlled by Priyavrata himself. Then it was made into the seven islands, so he gave each one of his seven, meaning he has ten sons, three became renunciates, seven then became kings. So they got each seven. Then each of them had seven sons, and they divided there. The names of those divisions which correspond to the names of the sons are Surochana, Salmanasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Paribhadra, Apyayana, and Avagyata. In those tracts of land there are seven mountains: Svarasa, Satashringa, Vamadeva, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpavarsha, and Sahasrastruti. There are also seven rivers: Anumati, Sinivali, Saraswati, Kuhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Raka. They are still existing. Right, meaning that goes back millions of years, but those are still existing. He's just saying those are still the way they are. Strictly following the cult of Varnashram Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands, who are known as Shutidharas, Viradharas, Vasundharas, and Ishandharas, all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, named Soma, the moon god. Right, the previous one, it was the sun god, now this is the moon god.
Right. It's interesting, in previous chapters, they all worship, you know, like a Dash avatar.
Mm.
But now they're going, you know,
it seems through the demigod, the main prominent demigods.
Yeah, Surya, Chandra, Vayu, Varun.
Yes.
Agni,
yes.
Like that.
Yeah, it seems to be. Maybe from the eight directions or something. Because nine islands. No, seven islands. Seven islands. So one's already taken up here, they have the deity, so six. So then I guess six of the main. So far it would be, yeah. Six of the main. Sun and moon aren't Dikpalas, but they're the, you know, primary those. And then after that it seems maybe it's the four. We'll see who these are, but. Yeah, no, it's interesting. But they're able to see them in connection to the Lord.
Yeah, but it's Rami indirect.
Yes, yes. But I guess there's who like that. They like to strictly follow the Varnashram, do all the things, but they see the Lord connected. So they like all the rules, like following, but they see it in connection to the Lord. Like that. So yeah, yes. I think it depends on the nature of the sons or nature of what's there. Also, there's what they can do. You had Ramachandra, then that his kingdom was divided in two. It's for Lav and Kush. So one set up and took over Ayodhya, the other one then sat in Mathura. I think it just depends. Like Duryodhana, is only Duryodhana would be acting as the king. And then all his 99 brothers, they were just supporting him. So I guess it depends on the size of the kingdom or something. Here it's quite big. So then, you know, easy enough to give something to the different sons.
Everybody gets their own space.
Yeah. When you get down to everybody gets one kata, then at that point it might be a little too small. Okay. The third island, Salmali, is the that tree? What do you say? Silk cotton tree. The big ones, the big fat ones with the thorns on them. Yeah.
A few of those in the hills.
Yeah, yeah.
The drag through them.
Yeah, yeah. Multi-purpose. The main guys get the pillows made from the flowers, and then the
thorns.
Yeah. No. It means it's also used in the hellish planets. They have you tie it around like that, and then they drag you by the feet and pull you all the way down to the bottom. That would be a tough one. And then after getting to the bottom, they probably untie you, take you back up to the top, retie you, and pull you down again.
This is the prime.
Huh?
This is the original prime.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. Well, I mean, you have that, or you get being tossed off the mountaintop onto sharp rocks, or, There's not many good alternatives, right? Or you have that one where it's the whole place is made of copper. It's got a fire underneath and the sun on top. It's no place to sit, no place to sleep. It's a problem. Or they have one where you're standing up to like your neck in water. But when you get thirsty and you go down to get water, it recedes. And I think that there's, fruits and stuff right there. When you get hungry and you reach for them, they go up. They have it down. They know how to harass.
I've heard this in Abonga, that size of the mouth is just a keyhole.
I heard that's just a regular living entity.
Really?
It lives in the ocean. Huge, huge, huge fish, but it has a little tiny dinky mouth. So it's always hungry. So it's just sitting there all day.
We can laugh now, but he's not laughing.
No, he's not laughing at all. He's not laughing at all. The inhabitants of Salmali Dwipa worship the demigod of the moon in the following words. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights, known as Shukla and Krishna, for the distribution of food grains to the pitas and demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, as he is the king of all the residents of the universe. Right? Because the time, because we go by all the, what's a day, what's a titi, and what's a muhurta, that's all based off of the moon. Right? It's all based off of that. So it's the distance travel, when the moon has traveled 11 degrees in comparison to the sun. Right? So the sun will move forward the same amount basically every day, but the moon will move more or less. So when that's 11 degrees on the zodiac, you know, out of the 360, that's called a titi. So sometimes he moves fast, sometimes he moves slow. So you could say it's off the sun, but it's not. It's off of him. Because the sun does the same thing. So the titi is defined by how the moon moves. So that way then you say he divides time. Right? So that titi, then half the time, then you get a bara. Bara is the day. Karna. Karna is half of the day. Then only the days of the week, those are according to the sun. Like that. But otherwise, the muhurtas, all these things are by the moon. It means you can do it by the sun if you want, but the main usage is by the moon. And he is the king of all the residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. So they're also then, I would expect, like what Madhvacharya said before, is that they're all seeing the potency of Krishna in the moon god, and so they're worshipping that aspect. So it's not specifically the moon god himself, it's him representing or reflecting those potencies of Krishna. Right, so yes. So that's why then they would say, you know, he's the Lord, you know, the king of all the residents of the universe. One, from the moon, because he controls the mind, so that's going to have the effect like that. But on the other aspect is that Aniruddha is the Supreme Lord, and everybody has a goal, and the goal is always Krishna, whether they understand it or not, right? You know, that what the Acharyas mentioned is that everybody's worshiping the Lord. Their goal is the Lord. Their process is the Lord. Their knowledge is the Lord. Their inspiration is the Lord. But in illusion, they don't know that. They just think it's, oh, my inspiration, what I'd like to do. But it's actually, they just think it's dead matter, but it's actually the potency is the Lord. Right? So on these planets, they're able to understand the Lord's potency. Therefore, they're functioning on that level. Outside the ocean of liquor is another island known as Kusha Dweep, which is 800,000 yojanas, 6,400,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. Right? So then you have the island, and then it has its, whatever size it is, the ocean is the same width. Then the next island is double that, and its island is the same as the island, so... As Somali Dweep is surrounded by a liquor ocean, Kusha Dweep is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. Right, so that means even in the winter it must not get solid, or they don't have a winter like ours and stuff. Yeah, maybe. So they wouldn't be able to say slow as molasses in January. Okay. Kusha Dweep, there are clumps of Kusha grass, from which the island takes its name. This Kusha grass, which was created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all directions. 9 to 13. In his purport to verse 13, Srila Prabhupada comments. From the descriptions in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames on the moon. Like the sun, the moon also must be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. Keep flipping him, and he goes up in the air, and then comes right back down. Is it another one? It's the same guy. The flames on the moon, however, unlike those on the sun, must be mild and pleasing. Like it says, this Kusha grass looks like fire. It's mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Shushapani Sukomala Shikash Tesham Rochisha. The Kusha grass illuminates all directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some ideas of the flames existing on the moon. Like that. So it's also there, but they're very cool and pleasing. Therefore, they can't even identify them, because they look at it that the fire will be as we identify fire, rather than these other forms of fire. Right? Because a fire means if there's only five elements, five kinds of atoms, so then the particular combination gives all these different varieties, so there must be more varieties of fire. Like acid is fire, but most don't count it as fire. Acid. Acid's fire. Right? If you have fire digestion, it uses acid. That's because there's a fire. You know, they'll say, oh, the fire is low. That's why there's indigestion. But it points, so that means there's so many forms of fire, but we'll just say this one particular form is there. You know, and then we get scientific. Okay, if it's little green, it's got this in it. If it's little blue, it's got that in it. And, you know, some other chemicals or minerals or stuff like that. But it appears here there's different kinds of fire. So you do have a what do you call it? Pleasing, mild and pleasing. Right? Yes.
I think it was yesterday or Tuesday or Monday we heard about the fire. Was it two energies, heat and light?
Yes.
Different types of fire appear to have different manifestations.
This is of heat and light. Yeah, it says three elements. Heat, light, and fire itself. But the fire is the basis of the heat and light. Yes, so there must be other ways the fire can manifest that the heat and light is pleasing.
More light.
Yeah, more mild or something like that, yeah.
I've seen photographs of people, this world, people have a liquid that they can pour on themselves and set light and it burns and gives off fire when it turns 40 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, so then like this, then you have a whole island full of that, you know, or the moon, like that. Yeah, it's just, they don't count it. It's just one of those anomalies, but they don't think, okay, you know, no one checks that out. You know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's a nerd's parlor trick, you know. It's just for fun, right? You know. Yeah.
Also, the sun has 1,000 rays and there's 400 of them are heating, 300 of them are cooling.
Okay.
The other ones bring snow, so not just heat.
Okay, so then how you get all the weather is depending upon which ones are probably. Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting stuff. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right? Well, we came across what canto? They didn't go to the moon? That was earlier, right? And that devotee left then. What if he waited until he got around to this one? Then he'd really freak out. Finally comes back and then oh no. Yeah, okay.
Loud.
Oh yeah, that could be. If they did go out there, then that would be what they bump into. Otherwise, it's too far away. Because where they say it is, it's not there. So they have to be some other. And at the same time, as many say they. Couldn't go there because you have this thing called the Van Allen Belt. No one talks about it. Van Allen Belt, the radioactivity there is so high that these spaceships that they say that they sent to the moon, nobody would survive going through that because the radiation would kill them. So if they wanted to put enough, you know, radiation protection, in those days they only had lead and stuff like that, it would be so heavy they wouldn't be able to launch it. Something like that. So like that. So whatever. It doesn't matter. But the point is it's farther away from that. So if they did go to something, it wasn't the moon. So it may have been Rahu.
Prabhupada's logic was perfect. The moon's a heavenly planet. We're not qualified to go to heaven, therefore you can't go to the moon.
And even if you did go there, you'd be locked outside the front door with the dog. So, I mean, how much are you going to see? Maybe that door, they were into Japanese gardens, so it's just dust. because that's what Prabhupada said. That is our conviction, you know. Because they can see things what they are and stuff like that. Sukadev Goswami continued, O king, another son of Maharaj Priyavrata, Hiranyaratha, was the king of this island. He divided into seven parts, which he delivered to his seven sons according to the rites of inheritance. The king then retired from family life to engage in austerity. So they implied that aspect of just dividing it up by seven. Like that. Because you can either have the eldest then takes the whole thing and all the others assist, or you divide it up into seven. It's like we see with the Pandavas, they just went, the eldest had the position and they just assisted. But otherwise, the other way of doing it is just they divide it into seven. So that's pretty standard. Because the one, that first one, there's a couple of verses on that, and that's it. And the whole rest of the chapter is on the second one.
When they do the first one, they will then all live together, and the elder brother is like
he's like the father. That's the point. He's like the father. He makes the decision, and then they all just work together. Just like the sons lived under the father, now the brothers live under the eldest brother.
And the second one, then they all go separately.
Yeah, the second, then they all go there. They all get there. They take their property and divide it, and whatever they have. It generally mentions after the death of the father, but that could either be he actually dies or he takes sannyas. Like that, because at any point then he's not going to be controlling it. They would have to. But it would be pretty standard to divide it up like that and turn it over, because that's the whole thing. We see the kings, they turn over the kingdom to the sons when they go out to take vanaprastha.
Yes.
So then that would be the standard time. So probably it means when death is for those who live in the house and never leave. So those like Shudras, they wouldn't leave the house. They'd just be sitting there. So when they die, then it goes to the sons. But for the Dvijas, then they would take vanaprastha, so at that time then it would be divided. So that way you get your inheritance a little earlier. You know, it's like, what is it? You know, what's it? Charles, well, he'll be the next king, no? In England? He gave up. It's already what? He's like 60 or 70?
No, he passed down to his son.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if he had, you know, he still doesn't have it, you know. So
yes.
He'll be only 70 by the time he becomes the king. It's kind of like, you know, that's a bit.
No fun.
Yeah, no fun. So he gives to his son, then at least then, you know, he can. That's smart. It's cultured. Okay. The king then retired from family life to engage in austerities. The names of those sons are Vasu, Vasudhana, Drira Ruchi, Stutyavrata, Nabigupta, Vivikta, and Vamanadeva. In those seven islands, there are seven boundary mountains, right? So all of the mountains are the same. They go perpendicular to the mountain, I mean to the island. So in other words, if you took Meru and went out, all they would all be in a line. They would all be in the seven radiuses around the, like that. And then in between that, then you have the different. So does that mean the mountains go up, go down, and come back up? And doesn't say that. Okay.
It does say that Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot scooped out all the dirt from all those areas.
Yeah, made the oceans, yeah. 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 It's pretty far out. That's powerful. Yes.
He has the blueprint according to what Krishna gave.
Yes.
Also, mm-hmm. We see that Priyavrata did some changes. Sagara Maharaj did some changes.
No, but it's just in what will be there, how it will work. Because you can only do changes what's actually possible.
So Brahma, he creates all that structure that
they function within. So it's just that it comes, in other words, it's just the Lord's plan that it'll be in a certain way up to a certain time. So there's a reason that it's all just one at one point, but then it becomes divided into the seven, then the seven become divided into seven.
Is Brahma who goes to those details also? Isn't it?
No, but the point is it's able to be done. So they can't they're not doing something and changing how creation functions. They're still working within it. You know, like we were saying, is that they can only function within some certain things. Like they'll take a you know, the botanists will take plants and do all kinds of far out things with them, but they can only match plants that match. You know what I'm saying? They're not taking a mango tree and matching it with a cactus. You know? Does that make sense? So I'm not sure what you get, a cactus that gives mangoes or a mango tree that gives cactus fruit, but whatever it is. You understand? It can only match with ones that there. So I think the mango tree, you can't graft it with other mango trees. Or I think you can also, I'm not sure, I think the lichus. There's a few that they sometimes, kings would do it for fun. They'd have one in their garden. You know, one tree that would give a huge variety of mangoes, so they're always in season, always happening. You know, or, you know, part of the tree is mangoes, part of the tree is lichus. So they do that for fun, you know, because it can be done, just it's, you know. But you can only work within that. That's the thing. You can't match it with a different tree. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Scientists think, oh, they're creating things. No, they're only making the combinations that are allowed within the creation. But those are already in the blueprint that those are of the 8,400,000. Just that that's put together by man-made combinations. But they're still part of the 8,400,000, right? So the dogs are the short legs. They're part of the species. Just that, you know, you start with a certain thing, then they do, because they can't do other things. Right? You don't see dogs with real long legs, you know. You know what I'm saying? Or real long dogs, or dogs with six legs, like that. Unless they're selling petrol, then you see dogs with six legs. If they're not selling petrol, then four legs. No? Yeah. Yeah. So it's that man thinks, oh, I'm doing so many things. But no, they're still functioning within the laws of nature. So at that time, that's all there needed to be. And then mentality is such that then when Priyavrata comes, then it would have all these different ones. You know, just like we said in the beginning, there was no specific principle of marriage. Or they had the marriage, but there was nothing that you had to stay with each other. So they decided to go with someone else, then it happened. No one worried about it. But until the day when somebody worried about it, and then that was it. Then from there on, then, you know, so you have a few things like that. That in the beginning it was one way, and then after that it became another way. Like that. I forget what it was. I think before there was no knee yoga. And then Venu started knee yoga. Knee yoga. Yes. Begetting children and the brother's wife, right? So that was not a standard function, but Venu started it, you know, because he was a bit off anyway, so he started the practice. So like this, things are introduced, but they're part of the system, but it's just nobody uses them, and then they get introduced or, you know, people are so elevated they don't need to use them, and then when they come to a certain level, then they step. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Like that. And also then, you know, there was probably a time when Indra didn't have so many eyes, right? Yeah. Yeah, no false sannyasis, there was no bogus, there was only, you know, Vaishnav sannyas. You know, he just basically didn't have anything religiously bogus, but then Indra started. So these things are all there, does that make sense? But they're all within the modes. They're still within governing by Krishna's laws. So. In those seven islands, there are seven boundary mountains, known as Chakra, Chatushringa, Kapila, Chitrakuta, Devanika, Urdvaroma, and Dravina. There are also seven rivers, known as Ramakulya, Madhukulya, Mitravinda, Shrutavinda, Devagarbha, Gritachuta, and Mantra Mala. The inhabitants of the island of Kushadweep are celebrated as the Kushalas, Kovidas, Abhiyuktas, and Kulakas. They are like the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, respectively. So it seems that in all these groups that they're mentioning, first one is the Brahmanas, second is Kshatriyas, like this. So they by bathing in the waters of those rivers, they all become purified. So probably if you check in the Sanskrit and all that, what Kushalas, Kobidas, there's some particular quality. So of Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, then there'll be some particular aspect that's outstanding, that therefore they're called by that name. Well, here it's generic, they're Kshatriyas. And you have all these varieties of Kshatriyas. But probably there, they take on a particular quality. And so therefore, that's why they have that name. Even though they're technically Kshatriyas, but they're that kind of Kshatriya. So therefore, they're called whatever it was. Kovidas. You know? Okay, what was that? By bathing in the waters of those rivers, they all became purified. They are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies according to the orders of the Vedic scriptures. Thus they worship the Lord in his aspect as the demigod of fire. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Kushadweep worship the fire god. So they follow the Vedic culture, like we see on those others, very strictly, but they're especially expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, then, the fire god is their main deity. Right? Wow, yeah, that's true. They have an ocean of ghee, and the island is Kusagrass. So then it matches. O fire god, you are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, and you carry to him all the offerings of sacrifice. Therefore, we request you to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead the yagyic ingredients we are offering the demigods, for the Lord is the real enjoyer. Right, so they're offering to the demigods because they follow the ritualistic, but those are actually for the Supreme Lord, because those demigods, the part that you're worshipping them for, that's actually the Lord. Because right? Otherwise they're jivas like anybody else. But because they perform pious activities, they're qualified, they're in the position. But that power that they have, that's actually from the Supreme Lord. So then the idea, you worship all these demigods, those things then are for the Supreme Lord. 14 to 17. In his purport to verse 17, Srila Prabhupada comments. The demigods are servants who assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the demigods as servants of the Supreme carry the sacrificial offerings to the Lord. Like tax collectors collecting revenue from the citizens and bringing it to the government's treasury. The demigods cannot accept the sacrificial offerings. They simply carry the offerings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadah. Since the Guru is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he carries to the Lord whatever is offered to him. Similarly, all the demigods as faithful servants of the Supreme Lord hand over to the Supreme Lord whatever is offered to them in sacrificial performances. There is no fault in worshipping the demigods with this understanding, but to think that the demigods are independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and equal to him is called hritajnana, a loss of intelligence. Kamais tais ter hritajnana. Bhagavad Gita 7:20. One who thinks that the demigods themselves are the actual benefactors is mistaken. So when you worship the demigods, it's not actually for them. It's actually for Krishna. And they deliver it to Krishna. Like that. It seems that the main things are worshipping the fire god, but they're worshipping him through the performance of the yajnas. But they're worshipping the Supreme Lord. But they're following the Vedic rituals, so therefore all the different demigods are named in the Vedic sacrifices. But they're worshipping the Supreme Lord. But their main deity is Agni. Right? They worship the Lord in his aspect as the demigod of fire. So Jatavedas. Right? He's the one who carries the offerings. Just like we install the Lord in the fire. So they're worshiping the Lord in the medium of fire. So, 14 to 17. In his purport to verse 17, Srila Prabhupada comments. Didn't we just read that? Yes. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Outside the ocean of clarified butter is another island known as Kramchadweep, which has a width of 1,600,000 yojanas, 12,800,000 miles, twice the width of the ocean of clarified butter. As Kushadweep is surrounded by an ocean of clarified butter, Kramchadweep is surrounded by an ocean of milk as broad as the island itself. On Kramchadweep, there is a great mountain known as Kramcha, from which the island takes its name. Although the vegetables living on the slopes of Mount Kramcha were attacked and devastated by the weapons of Kartikeya, the mountain has become fearless because it is always bathed on all sides by the ocean of milk and protected by Varuna Dev. Footnote 25. Sri Bhagavat Prasad Acharya comments, the Kramcha mountain was afflicted in its lower region and grows by Guha's weapons. It then became immersed in the milk ocean and Varuna offered protection. Now the mountain stands fearless. The ruler of this island was another son of Maharaj Priyavrata. His name was Gritaprishta, and he was a very learned scholar. He also divided his own island among his seven sons. After dividing the island into seven parts, named according to the names of his sons, Gritaprishta Maharaj completely retired from family life and took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, the soul of all souls, who has all auspicious qualities. Thus he attained perfection. 18 to 20. In his commentary to verse 20, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Gritaprishta is addressed as Bhagavan because he has knowledge of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Yes? It's not a bad number. What's the planet? What planet's seven? Oh, okay. I was asking what number is seven? In numerology. Oh, okay. But otherwise, it's 7 days of the week. You know, so it's all.
Seven flames of tongues.
Yeah, the tongue of Agni. Yes, seven flames. Seven tongues.
Seven colors of
the
rainbow.
Seven colors of the rainbow. Seven notes in music. So I guess it's enough. Six won't be enough. Eight will be too many. You know, so seven is just perfect.
How does the suspicion of these islands as seven directions, nothing in the southern, because from there they don't need to go south to the whole side, and only comes from the Bharat Ocean, which is in the south.
Oh, so it's the only one that's in the south. Okay, so only from there then they go down. Yeah, because from these ones you won't go down, they'll come back to the earth.
So there's four cardinal directions, one south, which is three, plus the four intermediate, and seven.
Oh, okay, so they're leaving Yamaraj then. Oh, okay. Does that work? Okay. Okay. In this regard, Sri Giridhara Lala Acharya comments, Gritaprishta is a ruler of that island. He also divided and distributed his kingdom to his seven sons, and he himself went to a penance grove to perform meditation on Lord Hari. For what effect? Because Hari is the remover of all miseries of bondage. Even listening to the fame of Hari removes all the distress of bondage. Thus, of what is Hari himself incapable? Kala, karma, and swabhava, which are the causes of distress, do not trouble the souls as they are all his own forms. How did he get such a sublime knowledge? By the grace of Hari only did he get that knowledge. Okay, so again, here it's only by the Lord's grace that one can actually come to the liberated platform. Yes.
Swabhava
means your particular nature, your particular condition nature. Yeah. So he means your kala, what time it is, by movement of time, right? There's past, present, and future. So you're always hankering for the future. You're lamenting about the past and not paying any attention to the present, right? And then karma, getting the results of previous, you know, applications, and swabhava, what your present nature is. So those are all the causes.
It seems that if the ruler of this planet, even if they are, you can say there is a demigod, at the end of their lives, they will be Krishna.
Yes. But here, all these, because it's all Bhumandala, then they're all devotees of the Lord. You know, they're actually actively doing that. Now, you know, what happens with Indra after the new Indra comes, that you don't hear much discussion about, only that his garland fades and he gets very distressed. But more than that, you don't hear. Because it's Amara, you're not supposed to hear anything about there. Nobody dies there. So if there is, it's a big cover-up. And if they don't, they send them somewhere else to die, like some old age home for demigods, you know, that's not in the heavenly planets. Yes, it's some conspiracy is there. You know that old age home that always is too difficult, you can never get booked into and all that? That's the one, right? Because they're not taking anybody from around here. That's Yeah. You can't get in. You have to fall. Yeah. Okay, that'll work. Okay. Sukadev Goswami continued. The sons of Maharaj Gritaprishta were named Ama, Madhuruha, Megaprishta, Sudhama, Brajajishta, Lohitarna, and Vanaspati. In their island, there are seven mountains, which indicate the boundaries of the seven tracts of land, and there are also seven rivers. The mountains are named Shukla, Vardhamana, Bojana, Upadarhina, Nanda, Nantna, Nandana, and Sarvatobhadra. See, now if they were all here, they'd just be called, this is what, Dweeb? Huh?
Croucha.
So they'd be K1, K2, K3, K like that. You know, Plaksha P1, P2, P3, you know, like that. Huh? Yeah, so they're more cultured. The rivers are named Abhaya, Amritaugha, Aryaka, Tirthavati, Rupavati, Pavitravati, and Shukla. The inhabitants of Kranchadweep are divided into four castes called the Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas, and Devakas. Using the waters of those sanctified rivers, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering a palm full of water at the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has the form of water. Okay, so that means that they worship him through tarpana. You know, you take the water and then through the mantras and that, then you pour the water. So, like in the past one is through how do you call it? Fire by the ritualistic yagyas. And in the first two, the sun and the moon, it seems that they just offer respects. You know, so it doesn't seem that they have any specific, you know, how you say, overly unique form of worship. Yeah. The inhabitants of Kranchadweep are... Okay, we mentioned that. Okay, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering a palm full of water at the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has a form of water. In his purport to verse 23, Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna says, 7.4, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano bhudhyare vacha ahankara ityame bhinna prakritir astada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight compromise my separated material energies. The energy of the Lord acts throughout the creation. Just as heat and light, the energies of the sun act within this universe and make everything work. The specific rivers mentioned in the Shastras are also energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people who regularly bathe in them are purified. It can actually be seen that many people are cured of diseases simply by bathing in the Ganges. Similarly, the inhabitants of Kranchadweep purify themselves by bathing in the rivers there. Yeah, so then the thing is just by that bath you purify, you fix, and stuff like that. Sukadev Goswami continued. I even remember there was some article someone told me about. It's a book. It's called "You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty."
Yeah,
just meaning you're not drinking enough water.
That's
So like that. So that's what Prabhupada says. You can become cured of disease simply by bathing in the Ganges. So like that. It's just it's simple. So that's how they benefit themselves. Sukadev Goswami continued. maybe a bigger bottle. Sorry? Okay. Outside the ocean of milk is another island, Shakadvip, which has a width of 3,200,000 yojanas, 25,600,000 miles. As Krancha, you know, we're only 25,000 miles around that we know of. And we're only 1/9 of this, so this is 25 million. Right? And that's just from one side to the other. But the circumference is that that's, yeah, three times that. No, more than that. Because you're counting from the middle of there, so it's really big. As Kranchadweep is surrounded by its own ocean of milk, Shakadweep is surrounded by an ocean of churned yogurt, as broad as the island itself. So churned yogurt means it's smooth, it's not like lumpy and stuff like that. You know, you don't have icebergs of yogurt floating around, right? So it's smooth. No?
Yeah.
Plus, being that thick, you probably don't sink very far in, right? You know, so. Yeah. Now that would be popular, right? I mean, just a sea of salt, serious salt water, people go to see. Why wouldn't they go to see an ocean of yogurt, right? In Shakadweep, there is a big shaka tree from which the island takes its name. The tree is very fragrant. Indeed, it lends its scent to the entire island. The master of the island, also one of the sons of Priyavrata, was known as Medatiti. He also divided his island into seven sections, named according to the names of his own sons, whom he made the kings of that island. The names of those sons are Purojava, Manojava, Pavamana, Dukranika, Chitrarepa, Bahurupa, and Vishvadhara. After dividing the island and situating his sons as its rulers, Medatita personally retired and to fix his mind completely on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he entered a forest suitable for meditation. For these lands also, there are seven boundary mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are Ishana, Urushringa, Balabhadra, Shata Keshara, Saha Srota, Devapala, and Mahanasa. The rivers are Anagha, Ayurdha, Ubhayasprishti, Aparajita, Panchabhati, Sahasrashuti, and Nijadviti. The inhabitants of those islands are also divided into four castes: Ritavrata, Satyavrata, Danavrata, and Anuvrata, which exactly resemble Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Right? So Ritavrata means one who lives by Rita, just by gleaning from the field. So here it appears they don't even beg in that. Right? And then Satyavrata, then based on truth. That's how they function, because they give their word, they say they'll do something, they do a Dhanavrata, so the vice is there, the charity and everything, and then Anuvrata, then they support the other three vratas. Which exactly resemble Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. So he says exactly means it is. It's just that there's a flavor there. That's why they're... Because this is all humans. So there's a certain flavor of why they'd be on that island or in that section. Right? They practice pranayama and mystic yoga. And in trance, they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Vayu. The inhabitants of Shakadweep worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vayu in the following words. O Supreme Person, situated as the super soul within the body, You direct the various actions of the different air, such as the prana, and thus you maintain all living entities. O Lord, O Supersoul of everyone, O Controller of the cosmic manifestation, under whom everything exists, may you protect us from all dangers. 24-28. In his purport to verse 28, Srila Prabhupada comments, through the mystic yoga practice called pranayama, the yogi controls the airs within the body to maintain the body in a healthy condition. In this way, the yogi comes to the point of trance and tries to see the Supersoul within the core of his heart. Pranayama is the means to attain samadhi, trance, in order to fully absorb oneself in seeing the Supreme Lord as Antaryami, the Supersoul within the core of the heart. So, interesting, he says, maintain the body in a healthy condition. They do pranayama. So that would mean the yoga system is for actually perfecting the health. Right? But that perfection of health means then you're able to be absorbed in samadhi and see the Lord. So that would mean is if you're a yogi and doing that, you actually have proper full health. But if you're not doing that, even though people today say they're healthy, they're not as healthy as the yogis are. Because they're not controlling the life airs, they're not doing all these things, they're not meditating on the Lord. Does that make sense? So that real perfect health is only available to the yogis who practice properly. Does that make sense? You know. But we see as the real health means to be absorbed in the Lord, right? It means if you're not healthy, you get distracted. When you get healthy, you can focus. So that means, because in yoga, it's very exacting focus. That means they must be the most healthy. So, right, because there's nothing, there's nothing, problem in the body or anything to disturb. But that's only available to yogis. Yes. Yes, because that's what happens. Something gets blocked. There's 72,000 nadis in the body. So we'll look at it. Somebody looks at it, the blood's not flowing, or the muscle is this, or the bone is that. But it actually is just the life airs. So then you can work on it through massage, through medicines, this, that, and correct things. But the actual thing is you purify how the airs are moving, then you don't see yogis having to do anything else. You know what I'm saying? No? Yeah. Once they get to that point. Before that, they may do all kinds of other things. Because the asanas get it where they can't actually sit. So they bring their health up to a point where they can sit. Then, through the life airs, then they actually purify it more. And then the mind can be fixed. They can draw in the senses. Right? Does that make sense? So devotional service means that is actually one is in the proper point of health, because then one can focus on the Lord. So we see it's a more powerful situation because we're able to focus on the Lord, even though we don't have to do all the bodily gymnastics and that they have to. Does that make sense? So real health means one's Krishna conscious. And sick means one's not Krishna conscious. Verses 29-46. Pushkara Dvipa and beyond. So Pushkara is the seventh. Okay. The outermost of the seven rings, Pushkara Dvipa, is divided in two by the Manasotara mountain range, atop which the sun chariot travels to illuminate the three worlds. The two halves of this island were entrusted to the two sons of Vitihotra. Beyond the ocean surrounding Pushkara Dvipa is a land inhabited by many living entities. Beyond that is a land made entirely of gold, which has been abandoned because, due to its bright reflection, anything dropped there, it is no longer perceivable. Yeah, so I guess, Nobody hankers after Midas because it appears that, Surrounding the island land of gold is the Lokaloka mountain range, which extends upward beyond Dhruvaloka and blocks out the illumination of the sun and stars from reaching the rest of the universe. Wow, up beyond Dhruvaloka. So that means even the light of Dhruvaloka doesn't go over there. Okay, that's pretty high.
So as Dhruvaloka will be inside that?
Yeah, no, it's in the universe, because it's a billion miles in from the edge. So whatever's going on here, it'll be up higher than Dhruva. So they're pretty big. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Is that?
from what's on the other side. So the outside billion miles, there's no light. Does it say how tall that is?
Above you, it doesn't say. I get the impression it stops below Mahar.
Mahar.
Mahaloka.
Okay. Because Dhruva's below...
At the top of Swarga.
At the top of Swarga. Oh, so it's below Satyaloka.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's below Satyaloka. Okay, so it just means the demigod's there. So it means Satyaloka and them are above higher than
Mahar.
Okay. Okay. Surrounding the land of gold, okay. Outside this mountain range is the uninhabited land. The sun, which is vertically situated in the center of the universal egg and is a representation of the Supreme Lord, is responsible for supplying all of the living entities with heat, light, and the power of visual perception. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Outside the ocean of yoga is another island known as Pushkara Dweep, which is 6,400,000 yojanas, or 51,200,000 miles wide. Twice as wide as the ocean of yogurt. It is surrounded by an ocean of very tasteful water, as broad as the island itself. On Pushkara, there is a great lotus flower with 100 million pure golden petals, as effulgent as the flames of fire. That lotus flower is considered the sitting place of Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful living being and who is therefore sometimes called Bhagavan. In the middle of that island is a great mountain named Manasotara, which forms the boundary between the inner side and the outer side of the island. Its breadth and height are 10,000 yojanas, or 80,000 miles. On that mountain, in the four directions, are the residential quarters of demigods such as Indra. So that would be the four directions. That would be Indra, Yama, Varuna, and Kubera. Okay. But they also don't have place on the Loka-Loka also? Because I've also heard that they had, also on the Loka-Loka, that they had places in the four directions.
Also residences on Loka-Loka, but I think they made the sages.
Okay, but it belongs to that demigod that sages live there. Okay. In the chariot of the sun god, the sun travels on top of the mountain in an orbit called Samvatsara, encircling Mount Meru. The sun's path, so that means the mountain goes all the way around the island and divides it on the inner and the outer. And that's where then the chariot wheel rides on that. Okay. Just like if they walk on the earth, they don't touch the ground. So that, but it still is on that track. That's what
it is.
Okay. The sun's path on the northern side is Uttarayana, and its path on the southern side is called Dakshinayana. So that means then it's divided by those varshas in the middle. So when it's on that side, that's the north, and when it's on varsha's side, it's on the south.
A little different, because it does the whole trip once every day.
Meaning?
As its furthest distance the sun is out is when it's above Manasotra, and that's when the sun is furthest south, and there's a time 6 months later when it's furthest in over the sixth mile.
Oh, you mean so he moves about on his chariot or something?
He's got an axle that's going around every day, and as it's going northwards, it's moving closer to Meru, and then as it's going southwards, it's moving further out.
So his chariot moves in and out. Oh, okay.
That inwards and outwards makes the prana.
Okay, so that's the sambhatsa. Oh, okay. Cool.
And every day he goes around the pool.
Okay.
That comes up in the next chapter with the analogy of the ants and the potter's wheel.
Ants and the potter's wheel.
Yes.
All they know is they've been a lot of mud has gotten in the way.
Rikabharas asks, how is the Hindu going with the mirror on his left and on his right at the same time?
Maybe he's doing the moonwalk.
It's the sunwalk.
The sunwalk.
What does he do? He only writes, that's it? That's it. Yeah, that's pretty boring.
I don't know. There's a,
there are sages glorifying him.
There's all kinds of, no, there's a whole scene going on there. That will get into in 12th canto.
It's a good view.
Yeah, yeah. In 12th canto it gets into it.
I mean, it's closer.
Well, it depends how you look at it. We can say, well, every day we get up, we take a bath, we do this, that, we eat breakfast, do something else, and take lunch, and do something else, and take dinner, and sit around and chit-chat and go back to sleep. So then we could say...
Boring?
Yeah. No, but therefore he has with him, you know, there's the sage that's with him, there's the Rakshasa that's with him, there's all the Gandharvas upside. So every time it's different.
He gets attacked by demons and Brahma is chanting Gayatri to scare them away.
Yeah, it's all happening there. Well, he's got his chariot, you know. So if you had a jacuzzi in the chariot, then we're okay. Getting better. Yes, getting better. I'm sure it all goes on. Because demigods also have many forms. You know, form is there because he'll also have a place where he resides and all this goes on. But then. Yeah, it's only 1 month a year. No, the sun is going around 12 months a year, but there's 12 adityas. So then one aditya only is doing that job for 1 month, and then 11 months he's off. You know, so it's like, you know, what do you call it? You know, like when you're out in, at the sea, then you're on for so much time and then off for so much time, or like that. So here they're on for 1 month and off for 11, because I guess it must be more intense or something. So therefore they're
Our
1 month. So in 1 year, then this is yeah. So that means six of them in 12 hours. So that means they're on 2 hour shifts.
It's getting even
better. No, it's fine.
Right?
It's doable. It's doable. Okay. Finally, we get down to it. Okay. Now that's it. Yeah. See. Okay. You should make sure you have that detail in the planetarium.
We wouldn't want to overwork the sun.
Yeah, no. Right, yeah. Okay. Okay, one side represents the day for the demigods, and the other represents their night. In his commentary on verse 30, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, because Manasotara mountain is circular, there are two varshas, one either side of it, also of circular shape. By days and nights of the devatas means with northern from winter to summer equinox, and southern courses from summer to winter equinox of the sun. Like that. So that their next month is their day's over. No, month after. 2 months, basically. Yeah. In 2 months, then the... But that is the equinox. But those are the middle of the day. But I'm saying June and January That's the sunrise, sunset. No, because this is their day. So the March equinox would be high noon. And then it'll go, the sun will go down in June. And then it's their night, because then you have the Chaturmas. Then they sleep, right, for that. Then they get up early in the Mangalar, because they're up before the Uttarayana comes in January. So, like that. Yeah, so Sukadeva Goswami continued. The ruler of this island, the son of Maharaj Priyavrata, named Vitihotra, had two sons named Ramanaka and Dataki. He granted the two sides of the island to these two sons and then personally engaged himself in the activities for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like his elder brother Medatiti. For the fulfillment of material desires, the inhabitants of this tract of land worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as represented by Lord Brahma. Oh, because of the lotus. Like that. Because that the what was this island?
Pushkara.
So it's named after that flower. Oh yeah, because Pushkara here also is where Brahma is worshipped. Yeah. They offer prayers to the Lord as follows. Lord Brahma is known as Karma Maya, the form of ritualistic ceremonies. And he's interested in here, Karma Maya, the form of ritualistic ceremonies. While Varuna is known as Asura Maya, because he gives shelter to the demons, because they all take shelter in the ocean. Like that. By performing ritualistic ceremonies, okay, he's the form of ritualistic ceremony. Because by performing ritualistic ceremonies, one may attain his position. And because the Vedic ritualistic hymns become manifest from him, he is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation. And therefore, in one sense, he is not different from the Lord. Nevertheless, he should be worshipped not as the monists worship him, but in duality. So in other words, in duality here means he has variety. He's one. But not like the monist, he's one and so there's nothing. He's one and all this variety is there, so all this is not different from him. Nevertheless, he should be worshipped not as the monist. Okay. One should always remain a servitor of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Worshipable Deity. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Brahma, the form of manifest Vedic knowledge. Right? So they respect this, you know, this body of knowledge and that coming from the Lord. So that's their position. 31 to 33. In his purport to verse 33, Srila Prabhupada comments. In this verse, the word karma mayam, obtainable by the Vedic ritualistic system, is significant. The Vedas say, Swadharma nishta sata janmabhi puman virin chatam eti. One who strictly follows the principles of Varnashram Dharma for at least 100 births will be rewarded with the post of Lord Brahma. It is also significant that also Lord Brahma is extremely powerful. He never thinks himself one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always knows that he is an eternal servitor of the Lord. Because the Lord and the servant are identical on the spiritual platform, Brahma is herein addressed as Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But if a devotee serves him with full faith, the meaning of the Vedic literature is revealed to him. Therefore, Brahma is called Brahmalinga, which indicates that its entire form consists of Vedic knowledge. Right. So that's the point. If you worship the Lord, worship the spiritual master, then you actually understand. Then the Vedic knowledge is revealed. In this regard, Srila Bhagavat Prasad Acharya comments, the people who live there worship Brahma, who happens to be that sharira, body of Lord Hari. They worship him by karma yoga, which is of the nature of mental worship. The caste of the people living in other lands was described, but here, Pushkara Dweep, the caste is not mentioned. We get information about this in the Vishnu Purana, which describes that this island is verily a heaven on earth, and as such there is no distinctions of caste there. All the people are alike and perform Vedic worship in a similar manner. So they seem to do mental worship. But there's no system of varnas and stuff here as such. Not that they don't do their you know, duties that would be there in a natural Vedic lifestyle, but they don't seem to have to do any other kind of rituals other than the mental worship of the Lord. Yes? It just means you have to have more focus to do it. So in one sense, you say it's higher. But the point is it means pure devotion, that's higher. So whatever mental, because we also have remembering as one of the nine processes. So they focus on that. Does that make sense? In Jambudweep, then it seems that there's more deity worship. Is there. So they'll be offering the 16 items to the deities there. And the other ones, it seems that they're doing it through you know, either for through yajna, yajna, meditation, means in the way of pranayama, yoga, like that. Then here it just seems to be meditation, doesn't give them the others. Then sun and moon, it didn't mention specifically how they were being worshipped. Yeah, I mean, it definitely would be a form of apostasy. But it doesn't appear that they have to do necessarily all these big, you know, karma, yajnas, and they're not into impersonalism, the jnans, so then they're all just nicely situated.
And the inhabitants of different weepers,
That I haven't heard. It doesn't mention it. From the different dvipas, can they visit each other? Yeah. Oh, the whole thing. Yeah, Manu he controls all, so he could move. You know, or the great sages and that, they move around anyway. But somebody from there, it's just like we're on 1/9 of Varsha, and we can only move on the 1/9. But you hear of qualified persons who go across, like Arjuna went to the Uttarakurus. That's why. Duryodhana, instead of going, wow, that's pious, how can he do that, we should respect these people, he just got envious. Like that. And you also hear, I forget what the kings were, which canto we were in, that the king, he went into the next one up, Kimpurushavarsha, and that, because I think you can enter there through the Himalayas, but he went up there into there and was somehow or another connected with, he had sovereignty over that there also. So that must mean he also had, and it also says, now when they say the seven continents and the seven seas, but Bharatvarsha is in nine, so then that just must mean this as much as we see here.
Unless it's referring to the whole Vimandala.
Yeah, then that's another thing. But that's generally just your manas. Okay. On the next page is a scale diagram depicting the seven islands and the seven oceans of Bhumandala. Okay. This is a scale representation of the seven islands and seven oceans of Bhumandala. The dark gray area in this illustration represents the seven islands, and the light gray areas represent the seven oceans created by the chariot wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata. Note, this is not the entire Bhumandala disk, right, because the piece of paper is not big enough. Beyond the seventh ocean is an extremely vast land, which is to be shown later due to scale restrictions. So, Does Bhumandala end with the seventh island, or it also includes that land of gold and all these things? So it goes all the way up to the Loka Loka is Bhumandala.
All the way past Loka Loka into the dark area, just it stops, I think, 17 lakhs before the earth recovery. It's just a small gap there, so they can fall.
17.
17. wouldn't be able to move at all, but it doesn't need for the elephants. It wouldn't ever get picked up out of the ocean.
Yeah, it would never fall over. And you'd never have sailors worried that they're going to sail off the edge of the world. Yeah. Okay.
The whole thing.
Okay. So Bhumandala is the biggest then of all. So that means the other talas below aren't that wide.
Well, they're 70,000, I think, wide.
So they're quite small. So they basically they're kind of underneath Jambudvip, basically. Okay. So Bhumandala is serious. Yeah. With just enough space for a ship to sail over the edge, right? Beginning with this small dark gray dot on the right side of the center of the page is Jambudvip. It's amazing when you start putting into things into scale, we end up pretty small. And that's divided into nine, which then is one of those is divided into nine. And so, yeah, we don't even count any. We're one of the pixels on the paper. Not even one of the pixels, right? You know, even the pixel is bigger than us. Yeah. Okay. It's Jambudvip followed by the saltwater ocean. After this is Plakshadvip, surrounded by the sugarcane ocean. Next is Salmalidvipa and the ocean of liquor. We're still pretty small. Followed by Kushadvip and an ocean of ghee. Okay, now we're getting a little bigger. Beyond that is Kranchadvip and an ocean of milk. Encompassed by Sakadvip is an ocean of yogurt. Wait a minute. That's one, two, three, four. Wait a minute. There's not seven here.
The dot in the middle?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was saying, yeah, okay. That's one, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. I was off one because I somehow or another counted the dot in the middle is, you know, that was maybe, no, we're even smaller than that. So, yeah, we don't even count here. The last island depicted in this diagram is Pushkaradvipa, which is surrounded by an ocean of sweet water, although not fully shown in this diagram. The Sweetwater Ocean is the same breadth as Pushkaradvipa. So you get it down in the corners here, a little touch of it. The white ring in the center of Pushkaradvipa is the Manasotara mountain range, upon which the sun chariot rotates. Okay. And Meru is there. So Meru, technically in comparison, is also quite small compared to this in width. Okay. It's also interesting to note that you have milk, yogurt, and ghee as oceans. But, no vegans out there, right? Yeah, no vegetable juice ocean.
Soy milk.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh,
soy ocean.
Okay, so this is just a map there. That wasn't the end of the chapter. Okay. Sukadev Goswami continued. Thereafter, beyond the ocean of sweet water and fully surrounding it, is a mountain named Loka Loka, which divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those not lit by the sun. So that means there's, okay. Beyond the ocean of sweet water is a tract of land as broad as the area between the middle of Mount Sumeru and the boundary of Manasotara Mountain. Really? So that means that whole thing there is how big it is beyond, after we get to after the freshwater ocean, it's that big. Oh. Okay. Okay, but this means, yeah, they're only on one side. Everything on this planet is a dweeb. Right? Just thinking you have West Bank, and you have Gaza. So. Also. Okay. In that tract of land, there are many living beings. Beyond it, extending to Loka Loka Mountain, is another land which is made of gold. Because of its golden surface, it reflects light like the surface of a mirror, and any physical article that falls on that land can never be perceived again. All living entities, therefore, have abandoned that golden land. Between the lands inhabited by living beings and those that are uninhabited, stands the great mountain which separates the two, and which is therefore celebrated as Loka-Aloka. Okay, Loka meaning people, and Aloka meaning nobody. Yes?
Can be seen.
Because it's like a mirror, so bright, and there's so much, it's gold, and I guess the reflection of the sun is so great that you can't even see anymore. So therefore no one lives there, because people have a habit of dropping things. Because if you lived there, then you would have to basically be a celibate, because if you had a family, you have kids, they always drop everything. So, you know. Yeah, drop the kid, yeah, like that. You know, you drop your car keys, you're stuck, you know, you know, it's just, yeah.
On that side of the mountain, no one lives. It's too bright. On the other side, no one lives.
It's too
dark. Yeah.
Everything's
covered. Yeah. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known as Loka-Loka has been installed as the outer border of the three worlds, Burloka, Bhuvarloka, and Swargaloka, to control the rays of the sun throughout the universe. All the luminaries from the sun up to Dhruvaloka distribute their rays throughout the three worlds, but only within the boundary formed by this mountain. Because it is extremely high, extending even higher than Dhruvaloka, it blocks the rays of the luminaries, which therefore can never extend beyond it. Okay. In his commentary to verse 37, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the mountain extends up to the end of Bhur, Bhuva, and Swa in eight directions. How high and wide is it? From the obstruction it creates, Yasmat, the rays of the sun and other planets up to Dhruvaloka spread light everywhere, but cannot go beyond the mountain. That is its height and breadth. Because it extends as high as Dhruvaloka, it defines the limit of the three worlds. Right? So that means then their limit is within that. So what's outside of that is not counted within the three worlds. Though the Bhumandala goes out to there, but it still can't be counted. Okay. So that means the Bhumandala being so wide, but not enough, and the ones below it not being very wide, then it could fall into the... Because if they were also as wide, it would just kind of like tip and hit one of the other ones.
Supported in the middle, right under shade. Balancing there.
Means Meru.
Under Meru, at the bottom, Bhumandala, under shade, is there, resting on his head,
Bhumandala. Oh, okay. So I guess
that's... So that's from the middle. So sometimes he's in ecstasy and shade, and that causes earthquake.
Okay. Wow.
Elephants have to balance.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandita.